Now, let me just roll. This has been a crazy week, okay? And listen, I know you got Ephesians 5 open in your Bible. I promise I'm going to get there here in just a minute. But this has been one of those crazy weeks. Last week, I was out of the office. I was on vacation, and I wasn't planning on being here last Sunday, and I got a call, and they said, hey, one of our staff members has tested positive for COVID, and Keith, bad news, a lot of us, talking about the staff, were exposed, and so we're going to have to go into quarantine. And so, man, we came back, I jumped in, led, you know, we had a great team jumped in around me, we led worship on Sunday, but then on Monday, I'm going to tell you, it was not the best Monday of my 9 years here as pastor. By the time that day was over, we had either five staff members or staff spouses that had tested positive for COVID, and we knew that we had a decision to make. And so after talking to the board, talking to our team, by Tuesday morning when we saw that we were down to literally three people on our staff that could be here this week that weren't either exposed to that and quarantining or had COVID, like, okay, we got to do something. In fact, I called Pastor Edgar, our Grace Latino pastor, and I said, hey, Edgar, man, I don't know how your voice is feeling this week, but I need you to lead worship on Sunday. You okay with that? And let's just say that the look that he gave me was one of shock, not awe. It was just mostly shock. And I'm like, no, seriously. And I explained the whole situation. But man, I just want to say thank you, though, for those in our congregation that have rallied around us. And you've got to know that this is a very, very tough decision for us to make. There is no one that wants to meet in person more than myself and the incredible team that we have. And man, there have been tears shed this week over this decision. And so I just want to say thank you for your understanding, for how you've rallied around us. Not only that, guys, man, you have rallied around our team. You've made meals. And not just our team. We've had several in our congregation that have either gone through loss this week or have been sick in some way. And you guys have gone the extra mile. You've showed up with meals. You've encouraged, called, emailed, texted. Man, I am so blessed to be part of this awesome body of believers. But it's just been crazy. And so, man, we were wrestling with all of this, what to do. And then, man, there was something else that happened on Tuesday. What was it? The election. Yeah, we had the election that took place on Tuesday. And so we all went to bed Tuesday night. Hopefully you went to bed Tuesday night, woke up Wednesday, and we didn't know any more on Wednesday morning than we knew Tuesday night when we went to bed. And then we've had just the craziness back and forth this week. What's going on? And then, man, on my way over here this morning, I always turn on the radio on my way over on Sunday morning. I like to either listen to classical music or turn on a Christian music. And I turn on to a Christian music station. And if this week could not get any worse, they were playing Christmas music already. Are you kidding me right now? I have figured out that there are two types of people in the world, right? There are those of you who love Jesus with all your heart and love to celebrate his birth after Thanksgiving when Christmas music is supposed to be played on the radio. And then we have those of you who literally have hardened hearts that want to start playing Christmas music in August or whenever it is. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Could 2020 get any worse? Okay, maybe I'm teasing about that. But the reality is this has been one of those weeks. As you can imagine, I've heard from several of you, what do you think about the election? What's going to take place? How will this impact the church? What do you think the future is going to look like? And man, I've thought about this week. Would you like to hear my post-election projection? Would you like to hear that? Why don't you stay tuned this morning, because I'm going to get to that as we break down Ephesians chapter 5. In the midst of the craziness, I want to talk this morning about the will of God. We're in this series called, as you can see, called, and we've been talking about this challenge that Paul gave us in Ephesians chapter 4. At the heart of this series is this, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where he says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Now, last week, Pastor Matt did a phenomenal job breaking down the second half of Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, because of his reference to the Mandalorian, I cannot forget his message. This is the way. Man, I've remembered that all week. In fact, there's a side note here. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the first phrase, the first description of Christians found in Acts is this. They were called followers of the way. And so I don't know if the Mandalorian writers have been reading through the book of Acts, but the reality is that is what they were called. And so the Apostle Paul, as we keep on, we're transitioning from Ephesians chapter 4 into Ephesians chapter 5. He breaks down this way, he lines out this way in the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 5. In fact, I'm going to give you just a high-level overview of that. He tells us in the first couple of verses, he challenges us to walk in love. And he provides Christ's standard for us. If you have your Bibles open, you're seeing that. And the standard is Christ's love displayed on the cross for us. And so he says, walk in love. This is part of this worthy calling, walking worthy of the calling. Then in verses 3 through 14, he breaks down what it means to walk as children of light. Now, I challenge you to read through, meditate on, and make plans on how to live out those verses in 3 through 14, because Paul does not pull any punches here. What he shows us is that there should be a marked difference between followers of the way and followers of the world. As he breaks that down, he sets a very high standard. But then we get to the next three verses here in Ephesians chapter 5 that is going to be our launch pad for the next couple of weeks. And here's what we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. He comes back to this whole idea of the walk, walking worthy of the calling. And he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, he says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so what I see, there are four things. Look carefully. Walk carefully. Look carefully how you walk. There's an intentionality to this. He says, make good use of your time. Don't waste your time. Some of you, that's all you need this morning. You need that. Make good use of your time. Don't be foolish. We're going to break down how we could potentially be foolish. Don't be foolish. But then he says something very interesting that we're going to be breaking down, and there's going to be a two-part message here. He says, understand what the will of the Lord is. And so this morning, what I want to do in the few minutes that we have together is I want us to talk and begin to respond to this question, what is the will of God? Now, can we just drop our spiritual pretenses for a moment? We don't always understand the will of God. All right? Myself included. In fact, there are times that the will of God, it's not just that we don't understand. What we do read and see almost it seems to be more confusing than not. And so what I've observed over the years is that many people, they don't necessarily strive to understand. They almost get to this place. It's like, the will of God, it's a mystery. It's always going to be a mystery. I can't figure this out. And so, hey, you know, I'm just going to live my life pragmatically. I'm going to use good old common sense that the Lord gave me. But here's the thing. Even though we may not be able to understand the will of the Lord fully, does not mean that we cannot understand the will of God. And so I think because of, man, sometimes this confusion and maybe ideas or man, terrible assumptions on what the will of God happens to be. We have a lot of people that get frustrated about this. They get frustrated about finding the will of God. I mean, you know, knowing God's will, following God's will, it sounds holy, but it's elusive. And I think this is because over the years, we've bought into some myths about the will of God. One of the myths that I think we bought into is this. We think that God has this perfect will, and anything outside his perfect will means that I have forever missed his will for my life. For example, when faced with two good options, man, I gotta pray and pray and pray because, man, maybe one of those options is terrible. So let me illustrate this. This week I did some extensive research when it came to my sermon, and I went to Arctic Circle and I went to Dairy Queen. Now, what I have here is, first of all, we've got the turtle pecan, cluster blizzard from Dairy Queen. We also have here from Arctic Circle, we have the chocolate brownie or fudge brownie mix, whatever they call their blizzard shake, whatever the case happens to be. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to use this as an example. Is there God's perfect will over which one of these I'm going to eat? In fact, you know, I'm going to cover my bases. I'm going to eat both of them real quick. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, that turtle pecan cluster, that's what I'm talking about. I'm going to have to step it up here. Let me see. Oh, yeah. I got a dilemma here. I like both of them. Lord, what is your will this morning? Which one of these should I eat? Because I don't want to miss your will, God. I don't want to miss your will. Which one of these should I? Well, you know I'm being somewhat facetious this morning, right? This, you know, are you going to miss God's perfect will for your life depending on what blizzard that you pick? No. We're given free will. We are free moral agents, if you will. We can make decisions. Now, the reality is there are consequences that are associated with decisions. There's some decisions that are better than others. There are consequences about this, but you don't have to worry about, am I going to forever regret this choice? Actually, I might regret the choice of eating the Dairy Queen Blizzard this morning, but the reality is this isn't inherently sinful, right? Okay, what you're going to eat today, is that inherently sinful? Are you going to miss God's will forever? No. And I know that I'm exaggerating here to make a point, but what I want us to understand is that God allows us to make choices that bring with them associated consequences, both good and bad. And there are far too many people who are frustrated or discouraged when it comes to the will of God because their understanding is this false assumption that God has a perfect will, and if they miss it, they've missed it forever, and so because of that, they're relegated to some second-class citizenship in the kingdom of God. When they make it to heaven, they're going to barely make it in by the skin of their teeth because somewhere along the line, they bought the wrong car, or they bought the wrong house, or they chose the wrong career. Listen to me this morning, please listen. You can break free from this bondage because that's exactly what it is. All right, this is a myth. Stop living as if there's no hope for you because of your past decisions. Grace is a gift. Grace is us receiving from God what we do not deserve in spite of our decisions, in spite of our past. And can I tell you, we are saved by grace through faith, but you and I, even as children of God, need grace daily as we live this life. There is no perfect will of God that results in us always having to live in discouragement. So please lift up your head and start living your life with the hope that God is God and that he is for you and that his will is for your good. Now there's this other myth that has to do with a cause of us finding God's will, and this myth is this. Once I find God's will, I will be able to recognize God's will because of the positive feelings that come my way. Well, that's false, all right? Can I just tell you right now, that's false. Well, what about be anxious for nothing in Philippians 4? Well, he's writing that to the church. There are situations that are taking place that he is addressing in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul. But I'm all for this. We should be anxious for nothing. The Lord is near. But that does not mean that this peace that passes understanding that's given to us is associated specifically with finding God's will. Can I tell you that many times you and I won't like God's will? We're not going to enjoy this. But when we buy into this myth, what happens is we can miss God's will because we feel good about something. I want to tell you right now, there are a lot of people that enjoy their sin. They enjoy the fruits of terrible decisions. And so having positive feelings of saying, well, I know this is the will of God because I feel good about this, that doesn't mean anything, right? I can feel good about, let's go back to my blizzard. I can feel good about eating the blizzard, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be good for me in the big scheme of things. Now, we can't buy into this whole positive feelings. I've seen a lot of people that have been living in direct conflict with the Word of God because they thought their feelings gave their understanding of God's will a sense of legitimacy. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, I had a girl that told me, she said, Keith, the Lord revealed to me in a dream last night his will for our future. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. No, don't be throwing me in with your future. She said, no, she said, I had a dream and God revealed to me that it's his will that you and I get married. And I'm like, first of all, one of us is serving a false god. And so, no, we're not into that. And by the way, just so you know, one of us has missed God's will, if that really was God's will, because we did not get married. But she's like, I had this peace about it. I just knew. No, that's not the way this works. So what is God's will? Well, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at two aspects of this. And today, though, I want to talk about something that is hard for us to understand at times, and that is God's sovereign will. And I want to begin by making two big points. Actually, I want to start, though, with making this first big point, and that's this. God reigns. All right? If you don't hear anything else, man, listen to this. God reigns. And throughout all Scripture, we find evidence of the fact that God stands outside of human history. He stands outside of human mystery. We can't always understand it. And if this weren't true, he wouldn't be God. He'd just be another one of us. You know, it was a few years ago, they had a local theological summit here in the area. And one of the presenters said this. He said, though God may be the Alpha, we're not sure whether or not he's the Omega because we haven't seen the end yet. And the presenter alleged that God is evolving just like we're evolving. Well, that's actually heresy. Can I just tell you, that is heresy. The Word reveals that God is, he has always been, and he will always be. In fact, Jesus himself revealed himself to John in Revelation chapter 22 this way, verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And God further reveals himself in Isaiah 55 when we read in verses 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as we read Scripture, it distinctly reveals God's will to be sovereign. He is over all things. So what does his sovereign will mean? It means that God has a plan, and his plan cannot be thwarted or compromised. It doesn't matter who's elected. It doesn't matter what takes place, what medium we're using to worship this morning. God has a plan, and his will cannot be thwarted or compromised. If he says it, even though we don't understand it, we can take it to the bank. Which leads me to the second big point that I want you to write down. Not only Can we know that God reigns? Here's what I want to here's what I want you to understand this morning. History is headed his direction. History is headed his direction. And so here's my post-election projection, if you will. Okay? You want to know where I stand, what's going to take place when we finally get this all sorted out, when the legal battles are over, all the contested votes are behind us. You want to know, you want to know where we stand? Here we go. God reigns, and history is headed in his direction. And so I want to, for the next couple of minutes as we close, I want us to look at some of these implications of God's sovereign will. And then we're going to build on this because, once again, man, we want to walk carefully. We don't want to be foolish. We want to make best use of our time. We have to understand what the will of God is. What are the implications of this claim that I've made that we see in Scripture that God reigns and that history is moving his direction? First of all, every human action is channeled towards God's sovereign plan. Every human action is channeled towards God's sovereign plan. I love Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Can we just think about the implications right there for a second? Let's think about that. Who do we think has all the power? The kings, the rulers, the presidents, the courts, whoever it is we think has the power. What the proverb writer says here, king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. On a national level, it means it doesn't matter who's in the White House. Democrat, Republican, does not matter. Trump, Biden, does not matter who has the title president before their name. They are in the hand of the Lord, and God will turn them wherever he wishes. When we look at this on a global level, it doesn't matter what nation comes to power. It doesn't matter who's leading China, Iran, North Korea, Russia. It does not matter. If a ruler makes a decision, God's using it to turn history his direction. If they make a bad decision, God's using it. There's no way it's getting outside of his control. And you're like, well, man, isn't that blind determinism in the fact that, you know, everything, God's literally just controlling us by puppets? No, he's given us free will, but our free will is limited by the sovereignty of his plan. I don't understand how it works. There is a tension between free will and God's sovereign will. I will acknowledge that this morning, but what I can tell you is who Scripture reveals is that there has never been a time that God has stressed out. There's never been a time where God's like, oh man, I did not see that coming. There's never been a time that God said, oh, we got to rewrite our strategic plan for the future. No. His will cannot be compromised. Every human action is channeled by God. It's leading towards where he's taking us. And so what's the implication, the application for us? Well, it's this. We don't have to be anxious. Now it's easy. I know it's easy for me to say this, all right? It's easy for me to say this. But listen to me, church. If there is anyone who needs to set the example for our nation, our state, and our cities in these times, it is the people of God. We don't have to be anxious because God reigns. And history is headed in his direction. Another implication is this. God's sovereign will isn't contingent upon opinion polls, right? God's sovereign will isn't contingent upon opinion polls. Daniel said this in chapter 4, verse 35. He said, all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the host of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Nobody can say, you can't do that, God. None can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? And I love this. Because you and I are programmed. I'll readily admit it. I'm programmed. You're programmed. We're programmed by culture. We are programmed by trends. We are programmed by tradition. We are programmed by polls. We see things and it immediately sets us off. We get stressed. We get anxious. We get mad. This is not God. We do not serve a programmed God. His sovereign will does not change. He will not be swayed by popular opinion. And I'm glad of that. As much as I would like to say that I'm not swayed by popular opinion, man, there are times it is tough as a leader making a tough decision. This week, man, I did not want to go to online format. Somebody's like, oh, you're going to lose all this momentum. And there's that part, is I understand that if there's anything of momentum that we have, it's not man. And I will say this, if our idea of momentum is only man-centered, we got issues. We need revival. We need a scripture-fed, spirit-led revival in which God leads and provides the momentum that we need. But I'm going to be honest, when you start hearing things, you start buying into that. I knew when I led worship last Sunday, I was setting myself up for failure. Somebody texted me this week, and they're like, well, man, Keith, man, I know you've told everybody that we're canceling services, but, man, can we just go ahead and meet? Listen, you can preach, and you can lead the music, and you can do it. I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. But, man, in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, what if? Well, maybe I should do something. It's easy. It's easy for the squeaky wheel to get the oil. Why else do you think we have so many lobbyists in this country, in our state? They want to change the mind of the leaders. We can't change God's mind. We can't change God's will. And the good news is nobody else can either. The Republicans can't, the Democrats can't, the United Nations can't, schools can't, the rich and powerful can't. No one can change the will of God. And so we might not like some of the things that God is doing. And listen, he's fine with us sharing our frustrations. I will tell you this week, I have had some serious conversations with God. I don't understand the why. But our limited understanding doesn't make God rethink, because he doesn't need human approval before he acts. God's sovereign will isn't contingent upon opinion polls. Opinion polls are contingent upon his sovereign will. So what's the implication? God's sovereign will won't change. God reigns, and history is headed his direction. Let me just stop here this morning. God's sovereign will can't be stopped by opposition. God's sovereign will can't be stopped by opposition. This week, I've been reading through the book of Acts again. I love that book, the formation of the church, the Holy Spirit coming in great power. Really, it's just, man, the launch pad of what we get to experience today. But in Acts chapter 4, there's an interesting prayer that was prayed. Peter and John had been not arrested yet, but they've been threatened. If you don't stop preaching in the name of Jesus, if you don't stop healing people in the name of Jesus, you're going to be arrested. What did they do? They didn't stop preaching. They didn't stop teaching. They didn't run. They just got together with God's people, and they prayed. In that prayer, there's an interesting section of that prayer in which, in verses 27 through 28, it says that even though the Jews, the Gentiles, Pilate and Herod, means that all the Roman rulers, all the Jewish rulers, all the Gentiles, they thought that they were getting rid of Jesus. In verse 28, it says that they were doing whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Even this terrible tragedy, as they understood it, of Jesus being crucified, it was part of God's plan. And I'm so thankful for God's plan, because you and I are celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive. You and I are children of God, sons and daughters, because of what took place. But in essence, what they were saying is this: God, you're going to take what we're doing, you're going to use it for your glory, you're even going to take opposition to your plan, and you're going to use it for your glory. And so what this means is that God's sovereign will is always greater than human will. See, we've got to understand what the will of God is, because we don't want to be foolish. We want to walk carefully. God's sovereign will, his will, always is greater than our human will. He can't be stopped by opposition. You know, to break this down, my son Cole just recently won a raffle. And I'll just say this, Wagoners are like historically woeful in any sort of raffle. We've never won anything that I can remember. And so I told Cole, listen, do not get your hopes up. This is not going to happen. You are a Wagoner. It's not going to happen. And sure enough, that sucker ends up winning the whole thing. He won a Nintendo Switch gaming system. He won a gift card. No, I'm not sure which fires Cole up more, the Switch game system or the gift card. He had $50 that he could spend wherever he wants. And I'll be honest right now, I wish he hadn't won that $50 gift card. That freaks me out. Because he's a man that's very meticulous. But here's the thing, it was his gift card. He could make choice. He could make a choice of what to do with that gift card. But I want you to be really sure of this. When we went to the store, his dad's sovereign will was above that's my son's ability to make a choice. So for instance, he had some parameters. Now he might not have known. I didn't tell him that. I'm like, hey, I got to make the final call. I didn't tell him that, but the reality was that's true. And so if we would have gone to Walmart and he's going through and he's going like, man, I want to get 50 Hot Wheel cars. I'm like, fine, you can do that. Or I want to do this, or I want to get this. Fine, you can do that. But if he comes to me, he's like, hey, Dad, I found a blowtorch for $45.99. I'm like, bro, that is not going to go well for you. It's not going to go well for me. And I'm going to pull the plug on that. And it doesn't matter how mad he gets at me. It's not fair. He is at the end of the day going to put that thing back because I'm not going to let him buy it. Because I'm Dad. And he's under my authority. And he's got choices that he can make, but he's going to bump up against my sovereign will. Well, here's the thing. If Romans 8:28 is true, that all things work together for our good, those of us who love Christ, who are called to his purpose, then what we can understand is that there are going to be times where our will is going to bump up. But it does not matter how much we might not like God's will, how much we oppose God's will, or when we look at culture, we look at the wickedness, everything that's taking place, it does not matter how much it seems like everyone else is opposing him. At the end of the day, we can know this. Here's the final implication. God always wins. And what we can know is this. God reigns. And history is headed in his direction. That's my post-election projection, church. God reigns, and history is headed in his direction. God's will won't change. God always wins. God is good, and God can be trusted. So what's that mean for us? How do we live this week in response to this? Ephesians chapter 5, look, we're going to walk carefully. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Well, here's what we're going to do this week. We're not going to be anxious. We don't have to be anxious. We have a part to play. We're going to be given opportunities to exercise our free will to make choices. But listen, what we can know, we'll make choices. We're going to be part of this, but Jesus will be Lord. And so though it comes to a sovereign will, we won't always be able to see it at work or fully understand it. We might catch glimpses of what he's doing, but there's never going to be a day that we fully understand his sovereign will, but we can trust his sovereign will. But God does not just only leave us with the mystery of his sovereign will. Next week, we're going to break down the second part of this. There's another will of God that has been revealed and continues to reveal itself to us today. I'm going to break that down. But here's where I want to close. Church, I want you to live in confidence. God is still on the throne. It does not matter what we find out this week about the number of COVID cases that are rising in our community. We need to be smart, church. We need to be smart. And we need to pray, especially for, man, our people that are on the front lines here in our community. Please pray for them. But at the end of the day, we're going to trust God. We're going to do the right thing, but we're going to trust God. It doesn't matter what takes place in families. Man, kids that make terrible decisions or all of this. When I say it doesn't matter, it does. It hurts and we don't understand. But we trust God. We trust God even when we can't see what he's doing. Man, when we're tempted to be frustrated over the results of the election, whenever that's finalized, listen. God reigns and history is still moving. His direction. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the fact that you are in control. I'm praying that your people would walk carefully, making best use of the time, not being foolish, but Lord, seeking to understand your will that's been revealed and trusting your sovereign will that isn't always revealed. Lord, thank you for the fact that you reign, that history is headed your direction. We choose to trust in you. And so, God, for what you're going to continue to do in our church family, for the healing you're going to provide, dear God, for the peace you're going to bring, and God, for the opportunities you're going to give us to unite people with Jesus and help them take their next steps, we thank you for this. And I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next week.